This is the second last chapter. And some even say that this is the last chapter because chapter 18 is the review of all the previous chapters. So therefore, one can say that Gita ends in this chapter. The main, whatever Krishna wanted to say, mainly is completed here. So verse 1. Let us chant all together.
Arjuna uvacha ye shastra vidimut srijya yajante sraddhayanvita tesham nishtaduka krishna sattvamaho rajastamaha.
Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? The last two chapters are the lotus feet of Krishna's form as the Gita. Gita is a form of Krishna. So chapter 16, if you remember, was which part?
Stomach,
exactly. Yes, stomach. So we have three verses about the divine natures. Beautiful 26 qualities of which are transcendental. And then the rest describing the demoniac natures. And the main conclusion of chapter 16 is at the end, two verses at the end. So this was the stomach of the Gita. Probably Krishna digests the demons somehow, and devotees are probably like the friendly bacteria, you know, like we have also. I heard that there are 1 trillion bacteria in one's digestive tract, 1 trillion, which is more than we have cells in the body. And this is the basis. This is the main basis of health of the and immunity of the body, healthy bacteria. So yogurt and kefir and not kefir kefir and all the other things are helpful. Anybody remembers or knows what was the conclusion of chapter 16? What's the main thing that makes the divine person a divine person a divine person? Follow Shastra, exactly. Shastra, this is the main conclusion. So Shastra is the main criterion. And I can recite this verse, which is self-manifest, which I don't have to repeat because Krishna kind of just hardwired. He flashed my my brainstem with this verse. Yak shastra vidim utsridya vartate kamakarata nasasidim avapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. Nice. Krishna says, whoever gives up shastra, this is verse 23 from the previous chapter, whoever gives up shastra and acts kamakarata, driven or motivated by one's desires, by kama, which means also a whim, caprice. Which words do we have in?
Muha.
Muha. Wow. Yes, it's a very, very good word. Yes, acts driven by one's muhas. This is definitely a good translation. Then Krishna says one does not get perfection, one does not get whatever perfection one understands as perfection, one does not get happiness, and one does not have also good destination after death, naparam gatim. So acting, giving up shastra and giving up and obeying one's kama or muhas. So this is the link between these two chapters, because what we have had in the previous chapter as a conclusion was the two extremes. I should probably spit on this. Oh, there is a Krishna has everything. Okay, these are ancient writings. So, chapter 15 described, in chapter 15 Krishna described, you remember what Krishna described in chapter 15? Huh? What was the analogy that Krishna gave? Yes, banyan tree, the banyan tree. So this is the analogy for this material world. So just like a banyan tree is capable of growing very, very big and very complicated, so in the same way this material world can be very complicated. It's a reflection on the water of our desire, and it's a reflection in the form of a gigantic tree which grows upside down. So Prabhupada says it means that we have some real tree on the other side. We have the tree of the spiritual world and Radha Krishna. And so this is chapter 15 in general, the banyan tree. And you have roots that grow upwards, and you have actions that bring downwards, and so forth. It's very complicated. Hare Krishna. So therefore Krishna says that just cut yourself off this tree, because we are glued to this tree with our senses. So the senses are the tips of the twigs on this tree. So like, for example, sense of touch. I like to have something soft or whatever, or sit on the soft. Yeah? So this, I'm glued to that tree. Or I like to see something good. So I'm, you know, I'm glued with all my senses to that tree. So that's why Krishna says, cut yourself off. Don't try to find the way out of this labyrinth. Just cut yourself off with knowledge of, with sword of knowledge. And then chapter 16 describes two parts of this tree. So chapter 16 describes the sweet and bitter fruits of this tree. So we have where will be the divine, at the top of this tree or at the root of this tree, at the bottom? Root or at the root of this tree. Okay, so this is the divine and demoniac. So we have two natures. Now this chapter speaks of the middle part of this tree. So this is chapter 17. And what's the difference with the previous chapter? So the previous chapter mentioned actually not one but two criteria for being a demoniac. So one criterion was so demoniac, it's in Gita 16:23. So to be demoniac, one criterion was not following Shastra or scripture. Vedic scripture. No Shastra. And one more criterion was what? Bzzz. No. Huh? Bzzz. Mukha, yeah. Yes. Mukha. Anybody knows how to make a picture of a mukha? Okay. Act on whims act on whims. Lust also. Okay, so this will be our it has six legs, right? Anyway, there are six legs there. So following one's whims. Now Arjuna is asking, what if a person doesn't follow the Shastra perfectly? Doesn't follow the Shastra perfectly, but he has some faith and he tries to control the whims to some extent. He is not a slave to these muhas, to these whimsical, lusty, angry, greedy, and so forth desires that can come in and force us to do. So he is doing something good. And this is what you can see nowadays a lot. You know, this is the modern atheistic or so-called humanistic propaganda that, you know, religion doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, as long as you are good, you know, you should be ethical. You know, ethical atheists. You know, it's of course a contradiction in itself. But the idea is that they don't follow Shastra, they don't accept scripture. But they try to be ethical, they try to be good, they try to help and serve and so forth. Hare Krishna.
Pardon.
Sorry. So what is their position in this life? Where do they go? Because the demoniac were described as having very bad destination. What was the destination of the demoniac? Hellish. How many times?
Non-stop.
Yes, as long as one is demonic, one just keeps going, taking birth in some unpleasant places. So, this is the this is the point. So they have some faith in something, in some principle. Prabhupada says that they. In the 16th chapter, it is concluded that one who does not follow the principles laid down in the scriptures is called an asura, demon. Okay. And one who follows the scriptural injunctions faithfully is called a deva or demigod. Now, so who is chanting Hare Krishna? So you are following the injunctions of the Shastra and you are devas, divine. Tijai, Hare Krishna. Now, if one with faith follows some rules which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions, what is his position? This doubt of Arjuna's is to be cleared by Krishna. Are those who create some sort of God by selecting a human being and placing their faith in him, worshipping in goodness, passion, or ignorance? Do such persons attain the perfectional stage of life? So, it says, sattvam ahora jastama. Basically, he sees two options. This aho divides two options, sattva or rajastamas. Goodness or passion, ignorance. Going on. So, is it a good question? So, do you know some people who know the Shastra? They know that Shastra says this, but it's difficult for they have faith in some faith in Shastra. They know, they believe. Okay, Shastra is good. Yes, Krishna is good, but they cannot actually, you know, do everything as it's written there. You know some people like that? So, Arjuna is asking about these people. What about them? You know, some there are some, you can call them Janmashtami devotees, yes? Like you have also some Easter and Christmas Christians, you know, Christians. Celebrate only on these days. So what is their position? That's the question. That's the link. So he speaks about the middle of the banyan tree. So we can recognize the rivers and the flows, what goes up, what goes down, so that we can choose properly, and so we can, instead of moving down, so we can move up. Text 2.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Trivida Bhavati Sraddha Dehinamsa Svabhavaja Sattviki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Chetitam Srinu.
The Supreme Personality of God had said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied souls, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. So Arjuna asked Tesham Nishta, their position. What is their position? And he said, he says, Shraddhayanvita. So they have some Shraddha. They have some faith. So Krishna says, well, faith can be according to the three modes. And by implication, it means, according to Baldeva Vidyabhushan, that faith based on the Shastra, on the Vedic Shastra, is outside of three modes. So if we place our faith in the Bhagavad Gita, then this is no ignorance, no passion, and it's not even goodness. It's transcendental goodness, which is very good news. So it pulls us out of the conditioned life, makes us free. Because even goodness is good. Goodness is naturally good, makes you knowledgeable, you know, and you're happy. However, do you know some happy people, reasonably, to whom you offer a Bhagavad Gita, and they say, it's okay. So it becomes an obstacle. It becomes an obstacle. They get stuck. Yeah? And they may be good, but they are stuck in their position. And sometimes it can produce a little pride, or a lot of pride, and they get stuck. So they cannot move out of this material world. But if we accept Shastra, then it helps us to be beyond all the three modes. Our faith is in the Shuddhasattva. Prabhupada says in the purport, those who know the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but out of laziness or indolence give up following these rules and regulations, are governed by the modes of material nature. So, and then later at the end, Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that blind faith in a particular mode of nature cannot help a person become elevated to the perfectional stage. One has to consider things carefully, with intelligence, just like our Slovenian devotees are doing on Sundays in Bhakti Shastri, considering things carefully, with intelligence, in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. So we are having the association of Srila Prabhupada, his translations and purports. Thus, one can change his position to a higher mode of nature, or beyond. We can make ourselves move out of the roller coaster, or move out of this machine of the material nature. pull out of the matrix.
Yeah,
you know, Neo also had to, you know, grow up in. It's not that he immediately, you know, because of disuse of his muscles and everything, he hasn't been using anything, so that's why he cannot like immediately jump and do everything. You know, he has to grow and become strong. But it depends on us, and we have to we have to learn. We have to undergo a process.
Can you explain, please, what kind is of faith in tamas and passion? Okay, in sattvic I can hear, but in tamas, what kind of faith?
Very good. So this is the next verses. Thank you. Udara Chanakya Madhaji. Okay, so text 3 gives the general principle. Sattvam rupa sarvasya sraddha bhavati bharata sraddha mayoyam purusho yoyat sraddhasa evasa. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes of he has acquired. And in Sanskrit you can see Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho, that Purusha, person is Shraddha Maya, is made of faith. You can touch your body, touch your neighbor's body, it's made of faith. So it's the result of our faith. Where we are is the result of our faith. You are what you believe. On all levels, on gross or subtle level, you are what you believe. Which can be sometimes said when I look in the mirror, but is very good news when I consider that I'm not dead yet and I can choose. And that's the choice. Yeah? We are given the options, clear options. So, you are what you think you are. Like, what was it? This famous quote from Henry Ford. If somebody thinks that he cannot achieve... whether one thinks that he cannot achieve anything, or if one thinks that he can achieve some great success, in both cases he's right. So that's the scriptural source of this great wisdom. You go there where your faith will lead you. It's intrinsically connected with our sattva, with our existence, who we are. And now, in one word, how to judge the faith in three modes, text in one verse, text 4. Yajante satika devan yaksharakshansi rajasa pretan buddhaganamschan ye yajante tamasajana. Men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Can you name some demigods? Indra. What are you? Brahma. Today? Suryadev. Ganesh. Shiva. Uma. So, these people, well, Prabhupada says philosophized Vishnu of the impersonalists. Impersonal conception of Vishnu. So, these people who we say, demigod worshippers. Krishna says they are in goodness. And they go up. They move up. So Krishna is not the angry, dogmatic, jealous God saying, if you don't worship me, you go down forever. Not to correct, but so you suffer and we all see it. Ha ha! Ha ha! Krishna is not like that. Krishna says, yeah, even if you don't worship me, if you worship good people, you go up, you go to heaven, no problem. You move up and up. Isn't it cool that we have Krishna as our God? Don't we have a cool God? He's
lucky.
Yeah, he's completely cool, you know. You don't want to worship me, no problem. Depending on who you worship, if you worship a demigod, you go up. Still good. Even if you worship those in mode of passion, worship the demons. You know, even one worships some demons, that's passion. So where people in passion go? They are, you know, somewhere in the middle. So a person in passion, one who has strong desires, they're somewhere in the middle. So they, you know, they not necessarily immediately thrown into the...
But they are going up and down.
Depending on, you know, because passion is unsteady.
In its earth, passion.
Passion, earth, yes.
Middle.
Yeah. Who is the demon Prabhupada gives as an example in this purport? Very funny.
Yeah.
Huh? Worshipped by a man in Calcutta during World War II. He Hitler. Yes, Hitler. Was he a demon? Definitely work like a demon, right? And so this Kolkata person worshipped him. Why? Because of the World War II, he earned a lot of money. So even today, we have people worshipping Hitler. I was in Germany, and some people were basically, oh, he was such a nice person. He was a vegetarian, and yes.
But was he really a vegetarian?
They say so.
But because of the health problem.
There are some theorists he was not. So some said that way, and some said that.
One biography shows him that he would at the dinner table, he would always laugh at others, saying, "You're eating corpses, you're eating corpses." "Wie können Sie diese Leichen essen? How can you eat these corpses?" Yeah, Hitler. How about Stalin? Now in Russia, there is a big revival of Stalin worship. Yeah, they want to Volgograd. They want to rename Stalingrad. Okay, for 3 days a year now, for some special war connected with the war. Some days connected with the war. And you remember? Oh, actually, I had a picture. I don't know if you can find it immediately or not. I was in Kerala, and Kerala in South India. This is a Christian state, and you have for many years you have communists at power, at the helm, and so when I was there, I don't have it. I was shocked to see on the streets, right across from the train station, huge pictures of Marx, Engels, and Stalin. Or Lenin. Marx, Lenin, and Stalin. Stalin was there, that's for sure. Huge picture. They were worshipping him. Yes. So, it's worship. There was a regular, remember, there was a regular puja. You know, everybody had to get together once a month and glorify, say how great they were or something. Of course, Yugoslavia was always special. Yeah? You were a little independent. Yeah, you joined the non-alignment together with Gandhi, India. You joined the non-alignment in, what's the name of that island across from Pula?
Briwani,
yes, Briwani. Gandhi came there.
No,
Nehru. I heard Indira Gandhi also came there, no? Nehru. Okay.
I mean, Rajiv Gandhi?
No, Rajiv.
Mahatma.
No, Indira.
Indira Gandhi, yes.
I heard she brought some gifts, an elephant or something. Just imagine, on your birthday somebody comes and says, "I want to give you an elephant." And you say, "Wow, I always wanted to." Okay, which room shall I put there? Of course, contemporary rooms. This is the old building. Contemporary, you would have two floors here, right? This is, what, this is 4.5 meters or something, or 480. Okay, so this is passion. People worship in passion. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Prabhupada says, sometimes people worship at the tomb of some dead man. Sexual service is also considered to be in a mode of darkness. Not quite clear what's a sexual service. Apparently some black tantra, which is completely misunderstood in the West. But it's very attractive because it's sex, you know, and not only sex, but it's religious. It makes you elevated. So that's a misunderstanding. It's tamas. All right. So Prabhupada says these different kinds of worship are not actually God worship. God worship is for persons who are transcendentally situated in pure goodness. So when we worship the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Transcendental Lord, we are in Shuddha Sattva. This is Shuddha Sattva. This is very important to understand. This is the usual trick question, you know. Whom good people worship? Who is worshipped by people in goodness? You're too intelligent. You immediately... Who is worshipped by people in goodness? Demigods, yes, I couldn't catch you. Yes, exactly. Because we think, okay, good means must be Vishnu, you know, must be God. But this is for transcendental. Whereas people in just goodness, in material goodness, they can worship some demigods. That's enough to be good. Which is very generous, very liberal. So if they have this transcendental concept of a transcendental person, then it's also pure goodness, transcendental. You definitely have Christians who are pure devotees, pure Vaishnavas, 100%. And there is also a conception of pure devotion in Christianity. It's not propagated, it's not taught, but there were saints who were teaching pure bhakti. There were saints who were teaching pure bhakti. And also the Christians who were in India from St. Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, who came to India immediately after, they survived and they were calling themselves Vaishnavas. They were worshipping Christ, but they were calling themselves Vaishnavas. Very clearly. Of course, when Portuguese Inquisition came, then they were tricked and killed and everything. There was one very famous preacher, so they invited him to preach in Goa, the Portuguese colony. And as soon as he came, they immediately caught him and Portuguese Inquisition. Competition, you know. He was a competition. So that's not a... That's certainly... Also, it can be... You can see that even that Inquisition, maybe their concept was of one transcendental person. So that's belief in which mode? Shuddha Sattva, yes. Okay, thank you. Do you agree? Of course, I said yes. So you. but their activity, killing off the competition with slightly different, maybe not even doctrine, but even just... the political lines of obedience, because there were some from Syrian church in India. they wanted Syrian bishops, Syrian bishops, so they were killing them. So that was in which mode? Tamas. Yeah, tamas. Violence is tamas. So their activity was in tamas. Yes. And the motive, what was their motive? Their motive was power. So that's in which mode? Passion, yeah. So you can see, as they say, we are all a mixed blessing. Each one of us is a mixed blessing to the world. So now we have to unmix and make ourselves a pure blessing to the world. Okay. So these are the three ways to determine the faith. Sometimes you can also see... One other way to worship a person, so in passion, so to worship a person, Prabhupada says, similarly, those in the modes of passion and ignorance generally select a powerful man to be God. So some people, for example, worship Michael Jackson. Yes? They have icons of Michael Jackson all over the house. They have service every day. How does it... Thriller. What is it? How does it... Anybody remembers from the 80s? His songs running, you know, and they... they also have Sadhu Sangha. They get together with people worshiping him. Pranachandra Maharaj says that they were distributing books at Elvis Presley's house. So he says people were doing practically dandavats there, and they were like, you know... hearing the, Elvis Presley katha, and they were, you know, making pilgrimage to places connected with his pastimes, and you know, they were almost like coming and almost like praying to. So this would be somewhere in passion bordering maybe on ignorance, depending what's their idea. And interestingly, Prabhupada says this philosophized Vishnu is put in goodness also, not transcendental, because that's not the real transcendental concept. It's not the real transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that these demigod worshippers can easily attain their fruits in this world. They get faith in the Shastra and follow the injunctions by the blessings of these demigods, by the blessings of these, because they are devotees, so they can give blessings. And Krishna helps them if they want to get these blessings. Questions, points here? Did you get the answer to your question? Mm-hmm. Other
Chandra? Yes. I have one more question.
Yes.
Connect with verse 3 where you said that where is your faith?
Yeah.
Is your path.
Yes.
But what about sometimes, you know, we have something, we would like to do something bigger than us, and we are afraid to step in on that path. We don't have faith for that, you know, because maybe it's someone else inspired you, or maybe you have this idea, but you think, oh my God, no, I don't think so. Like, so, the question is like, even though I don't have faith, I don't have belief in myself that I will be successful, whatever. Of course, you should not be attached to the result. But still, what is the area here when you are going on some path where there is no faith, but you're doing something for human?
We can say. It's not so black and white. It's not that you don't have faith. You have faith, but you have doubts. As who was it? Hridayananda Maharaj, somebody jokes that if you're an atheist, you have to have an absolute faith. Because if you have doubts, being an atheist, you're not an atheist. You're a theist with doubts. You have to be absolutely sure, like that. So therefore, those who are honest, they don't even call themselves atheists, they call themselves agnostics, which means we don't know. Which naturally would mean that if you don't know, then please shut up, you know? Just shut up, or say, I don't know. Why are you claiming that we don't know? You know, if you want to mark an exam in mathematics, as to mark something as wrong, you have to know the correct answer, right? Yeah, to mark something as wrong, you must know the correct answer. So how can they say that, you know, religion is wrong if they don't know the correct answer? So that's dishonest. So if they are honest agnostics, they should just shut up. That's it. Otherwise, it's not honest.
At least they should ask some questions.
Yeah, search. If they are honest, they should search. They should search. There was one honest like this, Andrew Flew. His name was Andrew Flew. A very famous British atheist, very powerful. He was really on a crusade, preaching, giving, distributing books on atheism in the universities, colleges. And then some years ago, there was a big article everywhere where he said that now I must accept that there is a supreme power. Why? Because the DNA, the human genome, was decoded, and he says, as an honest person, I must admit it's not possible for this to come up into existence by chance. It's a language, it's a coding language. And there is so many, it's not even a structure. It's a structure which carries our bodies. Each cell carries a library which is bigger than British Library. and the instructions how to rebuild another, how to construct another cell. Blueprint, yeah. Coding instructions, building instructions, everything is there. So he said, now I have to accept. He said, maybe I cannot accept Christian God, but I have to accept that there is some supreme intelligence. So he was honest. So therefore, coming back, that if you, when you are saying I don't have faith, it means you don't have a complete, absolute conviction, including mainly conviction not just in the path, but in yourself. You don't have faith in your ability to do this. Right? So this is where you need devotees. This is where you need devotees. Because this position is not bad. It is called humility. It's all right. It's humility. Then you need some authority which will tell you, do it anyway. Right? Like, for example, myself, I didn't want to teach Bhakti Shastri. I didn't want to teach Bhakti Shastri. They were asking me in VHE year after year, they were asking me again and again, that please teach, please teach. I said, oh, no, how can I teach? I cannot teach. So then Burijan Prabhu called me. Raj Bihari Prabhu was telling me, Burijan Prabhu, he called me and he said, why don't you want to teach? So I said, because of this, this and this, three reasons. So he said, okay, the first one is okay, it's not a problem. Second one, you don't speak in the class about this topic, and it's not an important topic to discuss, so just don't, if you have doubts, don't discuss this. And the third one, you teach anyway. So this is correct, this you don't speak, and that's, you teach anyway. So he gave me just an order. And then for Bhakti Vaibhava, then I thought, okay, Bhakti Shastri, but not Bhakti Vaibhava. So then I saw Burijan Prabhu, he was walking, then he saw me, and then he said, Adi, you must teach Bhakti Vaibhava. Okay, so that was an order, right? Same also, I was always lucky with my all my authorities. When I was in the Brahmacharya Ashram, I never have had any faith in anything, in myself. But my president had a huge faith in what I can do. He just told me, no, you go and do. Adi, tomorrow we have a public program in a maximum security prison with the most hardened criminals. And they are, you know, they are very expert psychologists, and you're giving a lecture. But I never gave a lecture. Oh, really? Okay, then you first give the morning Bhagavatam class, and then you go give it. So, you know, faith or no faith, you just go and do. You surrender, and then you do. And then you do. And again do, and do again, and again, and again, and again. And then you think, yes, I am a teacher. And so I come into the room, and it's difficult because, you know, my ego doesn't fit the room. I have to move. You go, okay, a little squeeze. Okay. And then and what Krishna has to do, he has to deflate me, you know, like the balloon, you know, psst. And oh, ah, oh, ah, what is this? I don't know. Okay, I'm not a teacher. I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm just doing what I'm told. I'm not just a servant, I'm just serving. Ah, oh, okay. Oh, so good. So use it as an asset. All right? Just get an order and follow the order. Main thing is the faith in the goal. Basically, faith, Sachidananda Maharaj always defines, he goes back to the etymology of Shraddha. He says, Shra, actually this is from Sanskrit. It means the heart. And dha means give or place. Yeah. So this and this is Shraddha or faith. So this is faith in a goal. This is your interest. Shra means your interest of your heart, where you put your heart. If your interest is in transcendence, then it means you believe in transcendence. If my goal is transcendence, I will believe in transcendence. Then I may not believe in myself, but if I find the sadhus or worshippers of transcendence, they will engage me, and then on the path, I will see I can follow the path. Even sometimes I will grow some this ego, that ego, but Krishna will take care. Krishna is very expert at. Because it's not possible to have ego and not suffer. So this is why in Vedic culture you have the rule that three times a day you stop whatever you do and you meditate. Who am I? What's the goal? What's my blessing? Vimahe prachodayat, and what's the process? Dhimahi, you meditate. So, how to develop faith? Association. This is very important. And what can you do from inside to help you develop faith?
Chanting.
The goal, exactly. Where do you place your heart? What's your goal? Do you place your... Is your goal anything in the material world, or is it something outside of the material world? If your goal is transcendental, you will have transcendental faith. That's Shraddha. Prabhupada sometimes translates Shraddha as interest. Where is your interest? What's your interest? Because sometimes we think, oh, I have no faith. Ah. Oh. Life is useless. I have no faith. I'm finished. But this is, you know, taking faith as some absolute, like, perfection. You know, that's taking faith in the meaning of, like, prema. Or at least nishta, you know, with zero doubts. But zero doubts, even at the platform of prema, one still can have doubts. These are, of course, what kind of doubts? These are doubts, like you mentioned, am I able to ever achieve Krishna's darshan? Right? So these doubts will remain until Krishna comes and kisses you. Or shakes your hand, like he did with Brahma. Congratulations! Then, okay, these doubts are... Kshiyate sarva samshaya drishtva evatmanishvara. This is 1-22, as far as I remember, around there. The process is described, and then when faith is completely mature, when you have seen Krishna, when you have met Krishna, then all the remaining doubts are removed. So these remaining doubts are like doubts in our personal ability. That's there. So we place our faith basically, if we have interest, then this can be sufficient to move us on the path. Something else?
Before you leave the body,
if you have a lot of this interest on his spiritual bank account, then Krishna comes. This is where Krishna is settled, like, you know, for his interest. The bank, how much we put on the account, and then we are getting, and this is the way when Krishna helps you to come back home.
Nice. Remember the verse from the second chapter which speaks about this spiritual bank account? Anybody remembers? Neha vikrama nashasti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya atrayate mahato bhayat. Which means? Anybody knows? This is 240. Sorry, I don't remember. Krishna says that on this path there is no loss or diminution. So if you have put any money in this bank, even one cent, or you just once said Hare Krishna, that's it. It will be kept forever and the interest will start growing. It will never be lost, unlike in the material bank. Never be lost. And even if you have 1 cent in that bank, if anything, God forbid, some accident happens, they will protect you. You know, like sometimes with a credit card, they give you insurance together. Some high-class credit cards, they have insurance included. So this is like that. Even if you put 1 cent, you know, in bank to get for that credit card, you have to pay some crazy money. But here, if you put 1 cent, Krishna says, I will protect you. I will protect your capital and interest and compounded interest. And I will always help you move forward. Even death cannot wipe it out. Yeah. Krishna Bank Kijai. Where is our interest? What is worthy of our interest? What is a worthy goal? If we meditate on the worthy goals, what is the worthy goal? Then this is what develops our faith. If I have any transcendental interest, if I have any interest in that which is beyond time, in that which is indestructible. Do you have interest in something that is indestructible? So that's... Okay, verses 5 and 6, these are the the other side. Now the demoniac, what's the difference with the demoniac? 5 and 6. Ashastravihitam ghoram tapyante ye tapo jana dambhahankara samyukta kamara gabalanvita karshayanta sarirastam bhuta gramamachetasa manchayvanta sarirastam tan vidyasuranishchayan. So again, flashback to the previous chapter. What is a demoniac activity? What's the difference? They are ashastra, which means they are against shastra. They are not just not following shastra, they are actively denying shastra. They are actively trying to destroy shastra and everything that's following shastra. So this is demoniac. And we have witnessed, you know, even in the recent history, regimes which actively prosecuted shastra. And nowadays, in many secular regimes, you also have active prosecution of theistic thought. Yeah? They are actively trying to wage war on any form of religious thought and ideas. So this is against shastra, ashastra hitam. And okay, those who undergo severe austerities and penances, because they may also do something. You know, they do some process. They do some austerity, penance, they try to do something, some process. Not recommended in the scriptures. Performing them out of pride and egoism. Prabhupada gives the example of unauthorized fasting for some political end. Or it can be to be super slim and attractive, for example. Right? who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the super soul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. So they, what's the difference between the demons and those in the, for example, in some better modes, who also don't follow Shastra and also do something? What's the difference? The goal, yes, yes, okay. What the Shastra recommends, yes. And you can also see that they are impelled by lust and attachment. So whatever they do is motivated by lust and attachment. Whereas people who are higher, they will be motivated to control lust and attachment. To control lust and attachment. Or it can be also performed achetasa, without understanding. Without understanding what they are really doing. Foolish, Prabhupada says. So, what very contemporary examples can you give of some people who do something ghora tapa, some terrible, terrifying and austerity, which is very foolish and which produces a lot of distress and misery? For many people,
this is
one example, but something even more similar, but even more terrifying, with more terrible effects. Yeah, terrorists. They call themselves terrorists, and completely based on foolishness. And self-destruction and destruction of others, and it's very achetasa. Definitely terrible and definitely foolish. This is one example. Yes.
Regarding Hiranyakashipu, was he following the shastras? I mean, in some sense.
No. There is no shastra.
He got wounds from Brahma.
He terrorized Brahma. He blackmailed Brahma. He forced Brahma.
They also had gurus, so they do whatever the guru said. But the guru,
like whom? Like who? For example?
I don't know. But I heard that the...
Okay, some demons following Shukracharya. So we have Bali Maharaj rejecting Shukracharya and becoming super successful, getting Sutala, which is better than the heavenly planet, and so forth. Okay, following Shukracharya, or we may like these Islamist terrorists who follow some sort of Islam teachers, Islamic, or more correctly, Islamistic teachers. So they are told that this is pious. You must do that. Yeah, so because these, so obviously, in Science of Self-Realization, when somebody asks Srila Prabhupada, how to not be cheated by a cheating guru, by someone who is not a real guru, a true guru. So Prabhupada says, it's very simple. There's no problem. If you are honest, if your desires are honest, then you will get an honest, true guru. If you want transcendence will come to you, sending a representative of transcendence. So these people, if you study these people, there are some books about these terrorists. These people psychologically have very strange profiles. They have very strange psychological profiles. They definitely were not searching for transcendence. Definitely not searching for transcendence. And definitely they had some big problems in their mental condition.
What about karma? So maybe they did something bad and what about that? Maybe they were put in that position because somebody else in that position before, or...
Yes. So whose decision was it? Whose karma was it?
We don't know.
His.
No, you cannot know if something is from now because I decide I will do that.
Why? Yes.
Because it comes to me and I'm, oh my God.
From where it comes?
From previous lives.
Okay. Whose previous lives?
We don't know. We had so many.
So whose lives were they?
Yes, mine.
Yes. Yes. You are the soul. You are the individual. You were making these decisions. Always. And you're making them now. They're not somebody's, it's not somebody's karma. It's your karma. Like Purnachanda Maharaj was saying after one class, he was saying, you're not your body, you're not your body, you're not your body. So after the end, some guest, he said, you were saying I'm not my body, all the lecture. So if I'm not my body, whose body am I? Or as... who is it? They are the Chardin? Or who said it? That we are not... it's a big mistake thinking that we are human beings having a spiritual experience. It's the other way around. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So we are spirit. We are the person. We are the one who decides. Karma, this is a huge misconception in the West, even in India, about karma, that karma is some force, you know, that's coming from God knows where and forces me to do, to make some decisions, and it's like I'm helpless and it's... I'm forced to smoke, it's my karma to smoke, right? It's a total misconception of karma. At least they get some idea that karma exists, but... I heard, who was it? Somebody had a... Some famous person has a dog named Karma. Obama? No. I forgot. Somebody, I read recently, some famous guy in America has a dog named Karma. Good name for a dog. So, it's my decisions. Karma is my decisions. And it's karma is just a mirror for myself. It's like a mirror. This is what I decide. So therefore, if I take responsibility and change my decisions, karma immediately changes. It's my karma.
Now, in Slovenian, this word karma, if you look in Slovenian language, if you divide kar and ma, it means like what you have.
Karma. You should say karmam. 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 Is it okay? Yes, more clear?
No, I thought about this terrorist. Because you said that you have some issues.
Yeah, it's their personal...
karma. Also.
Yes.
Yes.
And that means that whose decisions, who is guilty? Who is responsible?
That person.
Yes, exactly. That person. And in this life, even in Quran, they can find plenty of very good points. Even in Islam.
They don't know they are responsible.
If they are human, they have enough intelligence. Every human has enough. I know, for example, many Muslims who are super kind, nice, and I mean, majority of Muslims are nice. It's just the political exploitation it's just misuse of Quran. Just like Bible was misused to, actually Christians were the number one terrorists. That's what started the whole thing. We don't speak about this, but this is why Benedict the 16th, 2 years ago, went to and apologized to all the Arabs. He said, "We are sorry." He wanted to stop by admitting the responsibility, because Crusades, people were going from here to the peaceful Arabs and were slaughtering everybody, including children and women and everybody, and they were taking pride in that. So they were, what they were using? They were using Bible. Or like one of the popes, there was a war between two popes. There was a pope and anti-pope. Anyway, two popes were there. And they were followers of Abigoi. Abigoi, it was named heresy because they were claiming that we should develop knowledge of God. So he had some general and army, so he sent them to the city, and the general sends a messenger saying, how shall we find out who is a true follower and who is not a true follower, who is a follower of the false, of the other pope? And the pope, Innocent, his name was Innocent, I forgot the number, but his name was Innocent, he said, kill everybody, God will sort them out. Just kill everybody. So you can use any scripture. Like this Franciscan monk, Richard Rohr, he quotes Gandhi saying that you can hardly find more nonviolent teaching than Jesus Christ. And you can hardly find any Christian nation which follows this principle of nonviolence. Jesus' teaching is the most nonviolent practically of all religions. And Christians, not a single Christian nation ever follows these principle. That's what this monk says, and he calls it. Please, people, you know, who are we following? You know, our first response to everything is war and sword and kill. This is the main response of every Christian nation, even though you never see anything in Christ. Teaching. We have this in the Gita. Yes, yes. In the Gita we can say, Krishna said, if it's a religious war, you fight. But Gita produced Gandhi, you know, who was a supreme non-violent person. Yeah? A super non-violent person, even though Prabhupada criticized him for that. So you can misuse everything. So it's, again, based on our choices, on our interests. So these people who become terrorists, they certainly are misled, but same as, you know, it's very difficult to cheat an honest person. It's very difficult to cheat an honest person. If you are honest, it will be very difficult to cheat you. So those who are cheated are usually cheaters themselves. That's the psychological law. Even they, in the recent years, they made many experiments with the students and so forth, that they were making experiments with students. They sorted students in two groups. There were students who were called cynical and very, very suspicious. They would not believe other people. You know, they would very difficult, untrustful. They were very suspicious of being cheated by everybody. And they took some students which were called by everybody very trusting and naive. And then they made experiments. They had somebody lying to them, telling lies to these people. And it was found that naive people were three times better at telling lies from truth. They could recognize lies three times better than cynical, untrusting people. Untrusting people would be easily duped. Three times more easily duped. So this is, again, this is karma. You know, karma means, why do I get this karma? Because I'm like that. Why are they cheated? Because they cheated. They are cheaters themselves, and choice is there. Hare Krishna. Solution, simple, and very hopeful. If we decide to be fully honest, if we decide that all I want is the truth. The absolute transcendental truth, not exploitation, not to control, enjoy anything, anybody, but the absolute truth. Nobody will be able to cheat us. We will be completely guided in complete truth by honest guides and teachers. So that's karma. That's the choice. And this is what Krishna says here. Shraddha mayoyam purusha. Everybody is made of one's faith, one's goals, or one's interests and decisions. That's what makes our life. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. And now one more time, but before that, you please think that my goal, I am not the enjoyer. I am not the controller. Come what may, whatever happens, I surrender. I just want the truth, the reality, the absolute truth. Whoever I am, I want to serve the truth. And setting this, making this decision, let's chant one more time. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, 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 Hare Hare. Is it more joyful? Hare, my humble obeisances. Vanjaka Patra Vyascha.